James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote this book of the Bible, James. It's only 5 chapters. It's not very long, but it's packed with practical insights about how to navigate life, how we should navigate life, the way life works best. And we're calling this series Everyday Faith because we want to help each other grow in everyday faith, because faith is needed every day. But what James says is faith is needed every day, and faith needs to be lived out practically every day. Well, one of the practical realities that you and I and everybody all face is the issue of temptation. Today, we want to talk about this idea of everyday temptation, how every day there's something that tempts us to do something that wants to, has us go where we don't want to go, stay longer than we want to stay, pay more than we want to pay. And we find ourselves many times saying, I'm not going to do that again. And then we rack up the frequent flyer miles for the number of times we go back. Like, we get caught in these patterns and we can't break them. And James has some incredible insight. And I want you to think about the way you think about temptation. Because the reality is you're going to face temptation every day. And you know how we experience that a lot of times is we know that there's something that draws us, or someone that draws us, or there's something that kind of we tend to drift to. And we make this choice and we don't like it, and we get mad at ourselves and mad at others, and it costs us something, and we go, I'm not gonna do it anymore. And then we do it again. And usually when that happens, we put blame on somebody. Sometimes I blame somebody else if they were involved, or somebody who made me feel a certain way and I wanna kinda act out from that. Or sometimes I blame God, sometimes I blame myself. And James's solution for how we handle temptation is not blame, but it is this idea of thinking differently about how we think about temptation. And I want you to think about how temptation impacts your life, not to assign blame, but to learn your patterns. Proverbs 22 says this: the prudent, the wise, see danger and they take refuge. But the simple keep going and they pay the penalty. Many of us have been paying the penalty for temptation for a long time, and it's weighed on us heavily. And Jesus cares about that. If he didn't care about the penalty of what sin and bad choices and guilt and shame do to us, he wouldn't have died for us. Like, he cares about that. But for many of us, one reality of some of the temptation we're facing is we don't see it as a danger. And we're not taking refuge. We just keep going and hope that today I've got the oomph enough to get to self-will myself out of it. There's a better way. But to see danger means we need to learn our patterns. Here's some questions to think about. Maybe the area that you're tempted the most. When are you tempted the most? Maybe it's a certain time of day. Maybe it's a certain season of life. Maybe it's a certain scenario that's going on around you, that's when you're tempted the most. Where are you most tempted? Is there a place you go where suddenly that just triggers it? Who is with you when you're most tempted? Sometimes there's somebody riding shotgun with us when we face that temptation. What temporary benefit do I get if I give in? For many of us, there's a pain level in life so high that we say yes to something we shouldn't because it's an escape. Or there's a short-term payoff. And this is a key one, because this helps you see the danger and take refuge. How do you feel right before you're most tempted? Because for many of us, we drift through life and we don't pay attention. We don't look ahead. We don't do the wise thing to take refuge. Here's just a good summary question I want you to think about today, because this has caused me to think about it differently. What or who leads you into temptation? Like, try and narrow that down. Identify like where you're most vulnerable. What is it that leads you into temptation? Or who leads you into temptation? Or do you lead you into temptation? Because how we answer that question is really, really important. And I've started thinking about it differently, and I'm really grateful for several people who kind of helped me think differently about this. But as you think about this, let's see what James has to say about this. In James chapter 1, verses 13 and following, James kind of gives us some insight into what's going on. When tempted, not if tempted, when, no one should say, God is tempting me. We tend to do that. I tend to do that. I can't speak for you, but I do. Well, God, why would you give me this desire if you didn't want me to go there? Why would you allow this to cross my path? Why would you allow this to keep happening? God's not tempting us. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are, and this is what temptation is, dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. It's our desire that takes us places we don't want to go. Then after, there's the word again, desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Jesus wanted us to escape that. Not just for eternity, but for every day. It does ugly things to our minds, to our souls, to our relationships, to our world. Every problem you see in this world, at its core, is a sin problem. And usually, a great way to think about sin is its preoccupation with self. It's putting ourselves at the center of everything. And then James says it a different way later on in chapter 4. He says this, he writes this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Have you seen any fights and quarrels in our world lately?" Maybe you have to go think back a long time, like maybe 2 hours ago, but you can probably find fights and quarrels. "Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill." And you think, "Oh, well, that's not talking about me. I haven't killed anybody yet. Like I'm pretty good." The thing is, he says this later when he talks about words. We murder people with our speech all the time. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? If you think about it, thinking ill for somebody, you're guilty as someone who devalues a life. "You covet but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." What he's saying here is such a big sentence that I've skipped over for so long. What he's saying is, I want something more than I want a deep, intimate relationship with God. I want this more than I want this. And it leads me to terrible places. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. I want something for me more than I believe that God wants something better for me. We ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The problem with temptation, the problem with any all sin, is it leads us to a preoccupation with ourselves. And Jesus knew this about us. And he taught us to pray about this in a very specific way. You read it in the Lord's Prayer, this model he gave for us how to pray. And this is a bigger prayer than we think. At least it was a bigger prayer than I thought. I've prayed this before, but I totally missed, I think, what Jesus was really saying. In Matthew chapter 6, here's how he taught us to pray. You've probably heard this before. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." But James just said, God can't tempt us. But we're asking God for not to lead us into temptation. There's something very key. There's two key words in this: lead and deliver. Jesus isn't saying, pray that God doesn't lead you to temptation. James says he's not gonna do that. It's not about God not leading me into temptation. It's about the simple fact that God wants to lead me. Deliver us from evil. There's a very real danger there. Some translations say the evil one. But really, the word is probably best translated just flat out evil. Because what's one of the things we do when we make a mistake? We assign blame. The devil made me do it. No one made you do anything. We make decisions for ourselves. And usually, our temptation is, what's best for me? And God wants to deliver us not just from the evil one. He wants us to deliver us from evil. He wants to deliver us from us. Because when we lead our lives, we frequently find ourselves the ditch and say, God, how could you have done this to me? The word deliver literally means to rescue from danger. And we deceive ourselves when we think temptation is not dangerous. We're not prudent. We're not wise. We're not thinking ahead. And we pay the penalty. When we ask him to deliver us from the thing he tried to lead us away from, there's a disconnect between temptation and the core of what Jesus's invitation is to everybody. I remember years ago reading this article that talked about this guy wanted to figure out what was it like to be a disciple of Jesus, or even just in the crowd that you followed Jesus around wherever he went. And so what he decided to do, this is how long ago I read the article, he wanted to listen to the Bible on cassette. This was a long time ago. Anyway, we're not going to go into that, but he wanted to listen to it so he could actually like pretend like he was walking around hearing Jesus, because that's what they did. They weren't reading Jesus's words. They were hearing it. And so every time he'd listen to it, he'd imagine like he's sitting around a campfire, or he's sitting by the lake, or wherever the places they were, they're sitting in a room eating a meal. They're sitting around having a conversation. And he would listen and listen and listen. And he tried to figure out, after I listened to all of it, what was the one thing I heard the most? And the one thing he heard the most was this. Jesus said, "Follow me. Follow me." Jesus' core invitation when he first walked to his disciples was, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, follow me, follow me." They kept saying that. And for my life, I didn't get this. Because I thought Jesus' core invitation was this: believe in me. Well, he certainly said that. John 3:16, it's one of the best known verses in the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him, would not perish." That's certainly part of it. But there's something that's happened in our worlds, it happened in my life, that there's a disconnect between believe in me and follow me. Believe in me was like, boy, I hope he's right. Or I believe he's gonna cover my sins because I got a lot of them. I believe, but believed in their day was, do you believe in me? Then get up and follow me. Live differently. If you believe in me, it's not intellectual, it's action oriented. And what God says to you when he says, follow me, is let me lead you. His invitation wasn't about where he would lead you. It was what he would lead you to do. Because follow me is very different than believe in me. They're both connected. They're both part of Jesus' message. But follow me has strings attached. It requires something of me. I don't just nod in belief and agreement. Good point. I do something. I take steps. And God calls me to do something. Trusting him. Believing in him. It involves do's and don'ts. It means saying yes to Jesus and saying no to me. It doesn't mean I say to Jesus, hey, follow me, here's where I want to go. It's Jesus says to me, follow me, and here's where I want you to go. It costs you something. We love John 3:16, but Matthew 16:24, well, that's a tough one. He says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. Die to yourself. You know, when he said, take it in Matthew 16:24, when he said, take up their cross and follow me, they all knew what a cross was. But they didn't think that followers of Jesus would ever be wearing them around their necks. The thought that Jesus would end up dying on a cross wasn't on their radar. That was for criminals. That was for the worst people in life. That was when they saw someone dying on a cross, usually like, good, they deserved it. They didn't think that somehow Jesus would find himself on a cross. Yet Jesus says, what I want you to do is deny yourself, die to yourself, take up your cross like you're walking to die to self, and follow him. He called them to lay down their lives. So Jesus taught us to pray this way. But it's not just a prayer we pray and say, God, I need help. I'd like to see how I'm going to get out of this one, God. I don't know how you're going to do it, but show up. It requires something of us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you pray this? Do you ask for this? Because you might need to think about praying it differently. Really think about what you're meaning. I remember one time, I used to work with hockey players and would do chapels, and a lot of guys had this routine that before a game, they would pray the Lord's Prayer. And I've done this before in my life, and I've seen others that have done it too, that sometimes we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's a model prayer, and we just go through it and rote, and it's just, we're going through the motions. And I remember before a hockey game, a guy prayed that, and I said, hey, what do you think it would look like if Jesus answered that prayer? He says, what do you mean? I go, if when you pray, you're asking God to do something, right? Yeah. Okay, what do you think God would do if he answered this prayer? And he got so scared, he got worried. He goes, like, did I just commit to selling Christian timeshares, or did I buy a Christian timeshare? And I have to go to, you know, somewhere to be a missionary now? Like what do you mean? What did I just ask God to do? I said, actually, all of it is just giving everything to him and letting him lead. It's his, it's not your life anymore. It's his. Because you cannot pray this prayer for God to lead you not into temptation, but plan on leading yourself there. You can't do that. But we do. God, lead me not into temptation, but that's what I'm gonna do today. Who's in charge of you? Because the reality is, we've gone to the same place over and over and over again. I'm not going to do it. I do it. I'm not going to do it. And I do it. I'm not going to do it. I do it. Finally, we just give up. And that's actually the right choice. But don't give up and go on into temptation. Give up and let him lead you. Surrender everything to him. Giving up is exactly what you need to do. Surrender yourself. Giving yourself up to Jesus. Here's how Hebrews talks about it in Hebrews 4. Talking about Jesus. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. When you follow Jesus, he gets you. He understands what your struggles are. He understands what your pain is. And for many of us, our temptation is deeply tied to our pain. Because the path of temptation is escape route from our pain. But if that's you, and it's been that for me, what you know is you can take that path away from your pain, following the temptation path, but your pain follows right along with you and then adds to the pain. He gets you. He's able to understand your weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. You are not going to be in a tempted way that he does not understand. He gets it. He understands. But when he faced it, he did not sin. He's the only one that can say that. So he is your best choice to lead you. If you trust him to lead you out of temptation, you need to let him lead you, period. You have to. And then here's the promise in verse 16. So when we pray that prayer, lead us not temptation. When we pray any prayer, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive, and here's what God wants to bring to our life, mercy. Not judgment, mercy. To find grace. To help us in our time of need. Mercy, grace, and help is what Jesus brings to the table, not just to deliver us from temptation and lead us not to temptation, to deliver us from evil, but to help us when we've led ourselves there. Do you want mercy and grace in times of temptation? Because that's what he offers. But many of us play a different game. You ever heard the thing like, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, right? Like we do that with God too, right? We play the game of sin now and ask for forgiveness later. Because we know that he offers his grace and mercy. Here's the thing that was really convicting for me, and I heard it from Andy Stanley, and when he said it, I was like, good night, that's me. When we play that game with God, and that's the only role he plays in our life, we reduce him to a cleaning product. He cleans up our mess. Or he's the handyman, he's the Mr. Fix-It. Oh, I broke something, can you come fix it? All right, I'll call you if something breaks again. To which Jesus says, well, it will. The more you lead you, you're gonna lead yourself into brokenness. If we approach Jesus as just our forgiver, we have an incomplete view of God. But when we see him as our forgiver and as our leader, when we truly give him our lives, that's when we start to understand who he truly is. So he taught us to pray this way. Lead us not into temptation. But what he's really saying is simply, God, lead me. That's what he's asking us to pray. Lead me. Lead me to the right places. Don't lead me to the wrong places. Walk through me the valley of the shadow. Walk with me through the times of temptation. Walk with me through the good days. Lead me. All my life is yours. And like I said, many of us have struggled with temptation for so long, we've just given up. And that's the right choice. It's surrender. Because you can't pray, deliver me from evil and lead me not into temptation and be planning to do evil and walk into temptation. We need to plan instead. Today, I will follow Jesus wherever he leads. But the two things that usually lead us, and they're terrible leaders, is we pray for protection and gratification. God, protect me and give me. Protect me and give me. And he tells us we can pray about anything. We can cast our cares upon him. We can ask him for anything. But here's the deal. If that's the focus of our prayers, if that's the focus of our life, it centers our life on us. And those are poor leaders. Protection and gratification are terrible leaders. They will lead you into temptation and they will leave you there. Not giving thought to how your condition is. Not showing up with mercy. Not showing up with grace. And when you feed your gratifications, when you feed your desires, they don't go. They grow. And then the next battle with that same temptation is going to be even tougher because you've been feeding it really well. It's put on weight. It's gotten strength. It's gotten comfortable hanging around. And one of the things that Andy Stanley said that was so helpful in helping me think about this verse differently was he said the core of Jesus' message and what's really behind this prayer is the whole question of purpose. You know, it's a thing that, I mean, a lot of you have experienced that the older you get, the more you shift from success to significance. That's things that a lot of times we go through, like, I want my life to mean something, to make a difference. We ask the question of purpose at very early times in life. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? And it's a great question to ask, but it's probably the wrong question to ask. Because if you're asking, why am I here? It's self-focused. Perhaps the better question is, who am I here for? Who am I living for? Because if I pray this prayer, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, I'm also praying just flat out, God, lead me. Lead me wherever you want to do whatever you ask, I'm in. I've surrendered, I will follow you. It's a question of purpose. Who am I here for? Whose kingdom am I here to serve? The kingdom of Doug or the kingdom of God? Instead of in your life asking, why am I here? Ask who you are here for. And it's a question of purpose. Am I living this day to follow Jesus and to help others do the same? Because the surprising thing for us that shouldn't be surprising is the more I surrender this, the more I sacrifice, Jesus promises us, the more we're actually gonna find satisfaction and significance and peace. But so many of us are afraid to let go of the wheel because we're afraid of giving up control. But Jesus says, that's actually the place where your life is best in control is when I'm in control. But it involves surrender. It involves following. Letting him lead. Not just calling him to be the delivery guy, but the leadership, the king. And it boils down to really, am I willing to value things differently? Am I willing to choose God's best over what I want most? And for many of us, that's where we kind of take a step back and go, I'll just do the believe in me thing. When it costs me something, I don't take my steps. I don't let him lead. Maybe it's because I doubt that God really has what's best for me in mind. Maybe it's because the desires I feel are so strong. I mean, if I feel them, God must have given to me. How could I not follow this desire? The reality is, and Jesus knows this about us, our desires take us to undesirable places. But man, they've got great PR. Those places our heart desires have great advertising. Sometimes they've got great tour guides that will lead us right into it. Sometimes they have great salesmen. It's like, how could I not say yes? But at the end of the day, what Jesus says is what you will experience again and again and again is your desire will take you to some very undesirable places. And when you feed those desires, they don't go, they grow. And they grow in strength. And they grow very comfortable hanging around. And we need to take a shift. And I would just challenge you to think about yourself, like, can you assign values here the way God would ask us to value him more than anything, to value him greater than anyone? Can you trust him to actually lead you to the best possible places in life, even if it's not what you would define as the best possible place in life? Do you trust him that it actually could be? Desiring Jesus and his loving rule of our life needs to be the highest value and the most desirable thing, whether we feel like it or not, because that is where temptation doesn't have a grip. It loosens its grip. We find success because we let him lead us and deliver us because we're following him in everything. And then James made this promise in James 1. We talked about it in terms of handling difficulty. Temptation is difficulty. Temptation is adversity. Blessed is the one who perseveres. For some of you, you've been tempted again and again and again. And it's hard. There's guilt, there's pain, there's shame. It's hard. And again, it will take you there and leave you there and not give you a second thought. It can be a lonely place. Blessed is the one who perseveres. When you keep going and keep following, even if you desire to go to a different path, even if you feel like, I feel like I can't win this battle. You're right, you can't, but he can. If you follow him and surrender to him. When you persevere under trial, because having stood the test, the person that will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him, there is a payoff. He promises us that. And it means I'm going to value the blessing of God more than the desires of my heart. I'm going to value later more than now. That's a difficult thing for us to do. Because usually we value now and we value self over anything. And that's really where the battle for temptation and where it's won or lost. But for me, the most scary part of temptation, if you would go back to the verse right before this, lead us not into temptation. The hardest part for this is I think there are areas where it's temptation and there are areas that are evil that I don't think they're evil. I'm like, it's not that bad. Or actually, I think this is good. Actually, I think this is what God wants for me because I really want it. Some of us are battling with things that we know it's wrong and we're having a hard time saying no to it. It's a very real battle. Some of us are battling with something that we're saying yes to and we think it's okay. And we don't really want to talk to God too much about it. At least we don't want to listen too much about it because we think he might lead us someplace different. Or we might not be thinking that at all, but he does. And the surrendered life shows up with a blank page and says, God, what do you want me to do? It doesn't say, God, here's my desires. Bless it. Start here. No, he asks you to die to yourself. Look, if you're trying to get a lot of people to show up at church or a lot of people to, more importantly, to follow Jesus, man, make it easy. Jesus didn't do that. He still drew a crowd, but eventually the crowd kind of turned on him. One day they kind of, a lot of them started leaving. Disciples got worried, like, what are we gonna do? They're leaving. Jesus said, it's okay. Because it cost you something to follow him. Why? Because it cost him everything to ultimately deliver you from evil. And when you don't let Jesus be your forgiver, which is needed, and your leader, you're not following. This week, pray about the areas where you know you're tempted. Maybe the areas you know you're failing. And invite Jesus into that. What about the areas that you're having some success with, but you know it's still a temptation, it's back there? Yeah, pray about that too. But would you be bold enough to pray about, God, is there something in my life that I desire, but it's not your desire? Would you be bold enough to simply pray, Jesus, I want to follow you no matter what? That is a dangerous prayer, to say, Jesus, I will say yes to your invitation to follow you. It's a dangerous prayer. Because it too, like temptation, will take you places you may not want to go. It will cost you more than you might want to pay. But what Jesus says is it's worth it. That's an investment in your life, in the kingdom of God, and in eternity. And it's the one thing in life you will look back and not regret. But make no mistake, it'll cost you something. Because it cost Jesus everything. And he gave that to offer forgiveness to you. So the next time you're tempted, God says, I want to give you grace and mercy. But I want to ask you to trust me and follow me. Next week, we're going to continue with everyday faith. So I invite you to be here for that and talk about something practical we deal with every day that maybe we underestimate. And next week is Mother's Day, okay? Take note, if you need to take note of that, next week is Mother's Day. Think ahead about that. Several things. One, we do want you to RSVP next week. Actually, believe it or not, aside from Easter, Mother's Day is one of the biggest days at Live Oak, where actually we have some spacious issues at times. So please RSVP. This will probably be the last time you have to RSVP, but it will really help us this next week to prepare. Next week, there'll be some photo opportunities and some photographers to use on your phone to take before or after the in-person services. And there's gonna be a giveaway for all moms, either online or in person, because we wanna give, can't give something to everybody, we wanna give something to somebody. Maj Boutique, is I believe how it's pronounced. Hopefully that means something to moms, but I probably wouldn't have thought to get that for my wife or mom, but maybe I'll start looking at that. But that'll be a giveaway for some lucky moms next week, either online or in person. So next week's Mother's Day RSVP, let's stand and let's pray together. God, thanks that you love us. Your love cost you something. It cost you the life of Jesus on the cross, who emptied himself to give himself fully to that experience, to give himself for us. He gave his life for us so you can give your life to us and live your life through us. God, many of us have had a losing battle with temptation. Thanks that the really only way we can win is not through self-effort. It's not through behavior modification. It's really through surrender to you. And why many of us have just given up and said, I'm just gonna give up and just keep doing it. Help us to think about giving up differently, to give up by giving up our lives to you, surrendering to you, and let you truly lead us each and every day. God, thanks that the ultimate purpose in life is to live for you. That's where happiness, joy, satisfaction, and really life is fully found. Thank you for your invitation for us to follow you, because it means you think we are worth leading. Lead us this week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thanks for being here. Have a great week.